Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in Hebrews chapter 12. Today we're going to read a section beginning at verse 4 and going down through verse 11. This is a section that deals with the subject of discipline, God's disciplining us. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. This is God's holy word. There are some folks who make the mistake of telling prospective converts to Christianity, if you just believe in Jesus, all of your troubles will be over. All of your problems will disappear and everything will be fine. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus, when he was approached by folks, told them to count the cost, to consider what it meant to be a disciple, that it's hard, it's difficult. You face opposition from the world, you face problems from within because of your own sin. And in addition to all of that, though God does save you, sinner, as a sinner, God does not want you nor leave you in your sin. He does not want you to remain in your sin, and He does not leave you in your sin because part of your salvation involves the fact that God actively sanctifies you. He actively causes you to grow in Christ, to become what He wants you to be. And what does He want you to be? Well, He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants you to look like Jesus spiritually. And you don't. I don't. And in order to do that, what God has to do is He has to chip away all of the rough edges of sin. Just imagine us for a moment. You've probably seen sculptors who take a big piece of marble and a hammer and chisel, and when they're finished knocking off pieces of it, there's a beautiful statue underneath. You didn't know it was there. I didn't know it was there. They brought it out. Now, how they do that, I have no clue. I don't have that gift. They're able to see that piece of marble and know what they can make out of it, and they can make a beautiful statue out of it. But in order to do that, they have to chip away parts of the marble. Now, marble doesn't hurt, obviously. It doesn't experience pain. You and I do. We're like those rough slabs of marble. And God, in His discipline of us, for our good, takes the hammer and chisel and He knocks off all the sin that doesn't look like Jesus. And in the end, we are spiritually a picture of Jesus. Doesn't happen completely in this life. It will happen in your glorification. It will not totally be complete until you die and you go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, or He returns. But in the meantime, God is actively involved in doing just exactly that, in knocking off the rough edges of sin. And so what we've got in this passage before us today is a reminder, a description of what God does in the lives of the people He loves. You see, sometimes folks begin to think wrongly that hardships in your life might be proof that God doesn't care. Or worse than that, that God hates you. No, that's not what Scripture says. Hardships in your life are proof of the love of God for you in Jesus Christ. The fact that He doesn't leave you alone. The fact that He doesn't allow you to just continue in sin. That's evidence, that's proof that God does love you. And so that's what we're looking at today. We're looking at the fact that God disciplines you in love. And we're going to be reminded in my outline three times, discipline is hard. It hurts. It's not pleasant. In your struggle against sin, he writes, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You haven't. Are you dead yet? No, you're here and you're alive. Therefore, you have not struggled to the point of shedding your blood and dying for the sin that is in you. Any person who's still alive cannot answer yes to that question. Have you yet struggled to the point of shedding your blood, and the idea is shedding all of it so that you're dead? No, you haven't yet. Jesus did. He shed His blood on the cross for you. He died for you on the cross. And the question here is, have you reached the point in your Christian life when you have actually shed blood in resisting sin, in resisting temptation? And most of us, even though we haven't died, obviously, most of us would say, no, I've never even really reached that point either. I'm just, when it comes to sin, I'm not there yet. I haven't gone to the point of shedding my blood trying to keep from sinning. That's true of us. We haven't yet died in our fight against sin. We haven't yet even shed our blood in resisting sin. Now, you and I normally, because we are sinners, we normally shun discomfort. I don't like pain. I told you that story about the doctor who, one time when I stuck a nail through my wrist in a barn, and it was an old rusty nail and everything, and I ended up going to the emergency room, and they wanted to get a surgeon to cut it out, and they couldn't find a surgeon, so finally one of the interns said, well, I'll just pull it out. And I said, can you give me something for the pain? Because I don't really like pain to my body. And he laughed and he said, you'd be a funny person if you like pain to other people's bodies. But so he gave me a little bit of a shot and he pulled it out. We don't like discomfort. We don't like pain. We don't like all of that. But God reminds us here that one of the reasons that we don't, because we shun discomfort, one of the things that we need to remember is we do not take sin as seriously as God does. That's what we've got to remember. If we're not shedding our blood trying to stop from sinning in our lives, we don't take sin as seriously as God does. We haven't resisted temptations with the dedication and zeal that Jesus had. Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And this whole thing, God, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And so he was resisting the temptation to give up on all of it, to not go to the cross. God has to act on our behalf because we're lazy and we don't want discomfort and we don't want to fight against sin like we ought to. God acts on our behalf to discipline us from without because we're not as disciplined as we ought to be within. And the term that he uses for discipline here in this chapter is a term that involves physical punishment. And it's physical punishment, the word itself means physical punishment that is designed to improve your behavior. As this is what we do when we want our children to improve their behavior. That's what spankings are all about. It's physical punishment designed to improve your behavior. God does not want you to take what he does to you lightly. He doesn't want you to grow weary when he rebukes or reproves you. What's an example of a rebuke or reproof would be when King David had committed both adultery and murder and really had not gotten away with it at all. God knew about it. And really, when you think about it, I think the palace probably knew what was going on too. It was a hidden secret. And David's not really comfortable. He writes some psalms during about that time afterwards saying, I felt like arrows were sticking in me, and I felt like this great weight was pushing down on me, and I felt like my strength had just been sapped away, and my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. And he gives us all these descriptions of how miserable he was, but he's putting up a bold face in his sin. And so God sent, because David was not at the point of repentance yet, God sent Nathan the prophet, and Nathan tells this little parable about this rich guy that's got all these sheep and has a friend come by, and instead of slaughtering one of his sheep to serve a meal to his friend, he steals the one little lamb that his neighbor has. This poor farmer's got one little lamb that he's treated practically like a member of the household. He steals that guy's lamb and slaughters it to serve to his friend. And David is outraged. Who did this thing? He ought to die. And Nathan points the finger at him and said, you are the man. That's a rebuke. That's what God does to us. Sometimes we need to have that finger pointed right in our face by God saying, wake up. You're the man. You did this. This is your sin. God gives you proof of sin and wrongdoing. He convinces you of your guilt when he rebukes you in discipline. And because you and I sin often, sometimes we become weary of being rebuked over and over again. And basically what the scripture says here is, don't do that. Don't grow weary. This is something God is doing for your good. Don't turn your back on God. Don't become weary of the rebukes. And you're going to get a lot of them in your lifetime. Those rebukes are good and they are necessary for you. Because discipline, and this is one of the first things to remember, discipline shows God's love for you. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. God's discipline of you as his child is absolutely necessary for you. It shows his love for you, not the fact that he hates you, not the fact that he doesn't care about you, but the fact that he loves you. That's what discipline shows. He loves you. If he were indifferent to you, he wouldn't care whether you grew in holiness and righteousness. But because he loves you, he wants to make sure that you do. His discipline of you is proof that he loves you. That's the point that's being made here. He only disciplines those whom he loves in Jesus. He only disciplines the sons whom he receives in Christ. And that discipline hurts. It's painful. For the word that the writer here chooses to use is, he chastises you. Well, chastises sounds nice. It doesn't sound quite as bad until you realize that the Greek word that's used is the word scourges. And it's the same word that Pontius Pilate uses when he tells his soldiers to take Jesus out and scourge him. Exactly the same word. And what did they do? They took a whip, like a cat of nine tails, that had pieces of bone and metal and rock tied to the end of it. And they beat him, and they ripped strips of flesh off of his back. That's a scourge. People have been reported to die from scourging in the Roman Empire. You can beat a person to death with one of those things. They didn't kill Jesus with it. They beat him severely. It was not a pleasant thing. That's the word that the Bible uses to describe what God does to you and me. It means to punish severely. It drew Jesus' blood, and so God's chastisement of you might draw your blood. And that's why I think he asked you, have you yet reached the point where you've shed that blood? Have you had to be scourged by God to that point so far? Why? Because God has to get your attention, sinner, to make you realize how bad sin is, how serious sin is. It's not something we laugh about. It's not something we ignore. It is a serious matter in the eyes of God. And God's got to get your attention. It's like whacking somebody up the side of the head with a 2x4. I need it on occasion more than once just to get my attention. That's what God does. And the point is this. This is not proof that God doesn't care. This is not proof that God doesn't love you. It's proof of the opposite. It's proof that God does love you, that you are His Son. Second, God disciplines you for your good. And once again, we're reminded, discipline is hard. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you're left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Remember, he began this chapter with an exhortation about a race. And he tells us that you and I are to run the race that's set before us with endurance. And now he says it's for discipline that you have to endure. Part of discipline is to train you and to teach you to put up with discipline. Does that sound strange? But it is. Part of discipline on the part of God, part of God's discipline of you as a Christian, is to train you to put up with the discipline, to endure the discipline. It means, no, this is hard, because I sin here myself a lot. Don't grumble and complain when things don't go your way. Don't grumble and complain when you don't get your way. There is always, and this is the hard thing, there is always a purpose in everything God does in your life, even when you cannot understand it. That's the hard part. I have read blogs recently where people were talking about, oh, there's some things not to say when a person loses a child or when somebody dies and so forth. And one of the things they tell you don't say is, well, God had a purpose for it. Now, I understand how the sinful heart reacts when you hear that in a situation where it's really, really tough. I understand that your sinful heart's going to say, I don't believe that. I don't want to hear that. But God here says that. He says that. There is a purpose in what He's doing in your life. We've got to believe that. It's hard to hear. But don't reject it and don't rebel against it when you have to be told that. Yes, God has a purpose in this suffering. Yes, God has a purpose in your getting cancer or in a loved one's getting cancer. Yes, God has a purpose in this problem that you're facing. The loss of your job, the loss of a loved one. God has a purpose in this. We don't like to hear that, but God says it. And what He wants you and me to do is to bear up under the providential acts of His discipline so that in the end they will have their intended purpose in your life. fulfilled. They will do what God intends them to do. And so he gives an illustration. Let's talk about earthly children and spanking. Earthly children and discipline. Earthly fathers discipline their earthly children. That happens, right? And then he makes the comment that any child who's really not disciplined at all isn't a legitimate child of that father. He's illegitimate. A term that means he has no real or legal claim to be called a child of a certain father. He's born out of wedlock. He has no rights. He cannot claim any family membership. He cannot claim inheritance. And so his point is this: if you're not disciplined by an earthly father, you have no right to claim that you're his child. And in a greater sense, if you are not disciplined by your heavenly father, you have no right to claim that you're a Christian. That's what he's saying. Because discipline shows that you're God's child. Besides all this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as they saw best, as it seemed best to them. But he, our heavenly Father, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. Now, you've been disciplined by your earthly father, and you respected him because he was treating you as his son. He only did it for a short time in his life because he only lived a short time. He's not eternal like the heavenly Father. And no matter how many years he lived, he only had a short number of years to discipline you as a child. And he either did it or he didn't do it. And all earthly fathers fail in this regard. All of us do. But our heavenly Father doesn't fail. We do as best we can. And we make mistakes. That's the wording that he's using here. Is this, that we do as seems best to us. We try to make it work the right way, and we mess up because we're sinners too. But God does it exactly perfectly and exactly right, and he accomplishes what he wants to accomplish. If we submitted to our earthly fathers when they disciplined us, we should much more submit to our heavenly Father and respect his discipline of us. And what he's doing here is he's using discipline to make you live. And that's a term that talks about this eternal life that you have in Jesus that starts now and goes on forever. And it's life that is fit to live in the presence of God forever. He does it for your good, for your advantage. It's beneficial. It's a beneficial blessing of God to help you to live a Christian life here in this world of sin and to prepare you and fit you for heaven. And so he enables you through discipline to share his holiness. What's the holiness of God? The holiness of God is what distinguishes him from men. He is different from us. He is set apart from sin. He is exalted above the heavens. He is holy. He is separate. That's the word holiness. Holy means separateness. He is separate from all of his creation. Even the good things he's better than. But certainly he's better than anything that's sinful. He's different from that. Now, he desires that you participate in this separateness from sin. He wants you to be separated from it. And so he is in the process in this life of removing the rough edges of sin. He's taking that hammer and that chisel and he's knocking those things off so that in the end you will look spiritually like Jesus. He's doing this in a lifelong discipline process that we call sanctification. And it hurts. But his goal is to fit you to live in his presence in heaven forever. God disciplines you for righteousness, he says. And once again, we're reminded, discipline is hard. For the moment, verse 11, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Lifelong discipline is not easy. It hurts when you're undergoing it. Spankings hurt a child. If you've ever had your behind lit up, then you know that it hurts. I told you that going on vacation one time, and I did something that I shouldn't have done, and I had on a pair of wet swimming trunks, and my dad spanked me one time on my bottom with the wet swimming trunks, which probably added to this, but I had a red handprint on my little white bottom as a result of that. And it stung, but it didn't last. But I'm 64 years old now, and I remember that. Okay? There was a point to it. It had its purpose. I don't know what I did, but I never did it again. No Christian looks forward to discipline. God's discipline stings. It's not pleasant. It hurts. But the thing to remember, always to remember, is no matter how painful, no matter how much it seems like it lasts forever in this life, it still is only momentary. It's not an eternal punishment. And therefore, it goes away. Although in the midst of it, sometimes it seems like it won't. There are moments of discipline in your life where it seems like you will never see the light of day again. And it hurts. But God's discipline is His way of training you. And that's the last point here. But later, after the sting is over, but later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Earthly discipline produces good behavior in a child. That's what it's supposed to do. God's discipline produces the spiritual fruit of life in you, His child. That fruit is the fruit called righteousness. It means He is transforming you in this sanctification so that you become like Him in holiness, separate from sin. And there is a particular type of sanctified living that's seen in your life in righteousness, where you are acting in the way that God desires and God requires in Scripture. He spanks you to bring you into line with what the Bible says you ought to be like. He wants your life as a Christian to resemble Christ. And so He's working that out, and He is not only knocking off the rough edges of sin, but the end result is that you will live in a particular way. You'll live in righteousness, separate from sin and holiness, and living in righteousness. God's disciplining you. He wants you to show holy righteousness and obedience to Christ daily, day by day. Now, this only happens, though, it only comes to those who have been trained by discipline. This is not an immediate overnight result. No matter how much we might long for God to just zap us holy and be done with it and it would be over with, ain't going to happen. That's not the way God works. It is a lifelong process. God does not zap you holy and righteous all at once. Yes, you're declared to be holy and righteous in Jesus, and that's the way in which we stand before God always. We stand before God in the righteousness of Christ and in the holiness of Christ, yes. But God is in the process of now bringing you up to looking like that in your life. That's what sanctification is all about. So He trains you. He sanctifies you daily. And He likens this to weightlifting. That little word trained in Greek means go to the gym and lift weights. It's a word we get from gymnasium from, okay? And it's likened to weightlifting. It's likened to athletic training of any kind, really. It's describing athletes whose bodies are changed slowly over time through painful exercise that allows them, for example, to lift heavier and heavier weights. There's nobody in this room that's going to start out by going to the gym and saying, I'm going to lift 500 pounds today. I'm going to bench press 500 pounds. There's not anybody in this room can do that. I don't know anybody in this room, even after lifelong training, could do that. But there might be some who could. Okay? But it's going to take a long, long, long time. And it's going to take daily exercise. And that's the word that's used to describe it here. Your muscles have to be torn down to grow stronger. It hurts. It takes time. It takes effort. And that's the word that's used to describe what God is doing for you spiritually. He disciplines you. He punishes your spiritual muscles so that over time in sanctification they grow stronger. He fits you for His presence in heaven by crushing the life out of sin in your body and remaking you in His spiritual image through tough discipline. And the end result is a true Son of God who has spiritual muscles that have been trained by all of this exercise daily, spiritual discipline daily, to grow in holiness and in righteousness. The point is, it hurts. The result is, it's glorious. It's eternal. It's for your good. Discipline. Remember, don't forget, don't ever forget, discipline is God's way of training you for heaven. Let's pray. Lord, yes, it hurts, and we know that. We know, Heavenly Father, that it is not a pleasant thing to undergo discipline, and yet, Father, as we look at it from your perspective, as we look at it from what the Word of God tells us, oh, how glorious it is. For Father, all of these things that you use and all of the ways in which you work in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, they have that one glorious goal in mind of fitting us to live in your presence forever in holiness and righteousness. How we thank you, Father. And so, Father, we pray that you would work in our lives in a mighty way and that you would remake us and mold us into the spiritual image of your Son, Jesus, that we might resemble Him in knowledge of you, in righteousness, and in true holiness. We pray this through Christ our Savior. Amen.